Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2, "The word of God is not bound." "I'm suffering," Paul said, "bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." That's what Paul said in this letter to the second letter to Timothy. Paul was writing this from his jail cell, probably in Rome, probably just a few weeks or months before his certain execution. This second letter to Timothy was one of the last things he wrote, one of the last books that Paul wrote. But Paul here didn't want a pity party. He wasn't writing this letter to Timothy to plan a rescue attempt, but to encourage Timothy to keep on spreading the word of God. Because even though Paul was bound with chains, this word of God was not. And the survival of the faith didn't depend on Paul's survival. The survival of the faith is guaranteed by the word of God. We're going to do something a little bit differently with our sermon time this morning. Instead of walking through a passage verse by verse, we're going to just look at one short sentence here in 2 Timothy 2. The word of God is not bound. Paul was imprisoned with chains, but the word of God was not and will never be bound. So let's pray before we begin. Father God, thank you for this word. Help us to grow, to better appreciate your word, and to know that it is your perfect, trustworthy, unchanging, beautiful love letter to us. Give us grateful hearts to receive your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's start with this morning. What is the word of God? Two words for you: inspired and authoritative. Authoritative. We believe, firstly, that this book is the inspired word of God. That means that God is ultimately the writer of this book, isn't he? He's the one who gave us this word. He used many people over the course of many years to write down and transcribe his word. But this isn't a collection of human thoughts or human opinions. These are God's words. When you read a story from the Bible, or a psalm, or a New Testament letter like today, it's important to know that you're not reading just some man's opinion. You're not just getting a glimpse into what life was like 2,000 years ago. You're reading and hearing the actual word of God. This might seem like an obvious point, but it's becoming increasingly uncommon these days. Many churches today, even evangelical churches, even Lutheran churches, do not believe that this is a holy book. They look at a passage like the one we looked at today, Paul's second letter to Timothy, and they don't hear God speaking. They only hear Paul. They only view this letter as a glimpse into the culture of the day. Paul's words to Timothy don't have any meaning for us today, they say. They just show us what life was like back then. But that's not what the Bible is. That's not all the Bible is. It is an historical document that shows us the writings and the background of real historical people, but it's also a holy book, isn't it? Unlike any other book in the world. God's word is just that. God's word. God himself, the one who spoke creation into existence, who keeps the stars in the sky, who raises the sun every day, wrote this book to us. Inspired by God himself, transcribed by apostles and prophets and copied and translated through the years until here it's in our hands today. God's word is inspired, which means then that it's also authoritative. It's an authority. We don't get to decide which parts of Scripture apply to our lives and which parts we can skip over. The entire book of God's word is timeless, unchanging truth, and it has authority over us. And this issue of authority is another key difference between us and other churches today. We understand the world through the word. We do not understand the word through the world. Does that make sense? What I mean by that is God's word is unchanging, timeless truth. The truths in this word do not change based on the cultural fads or societal trends of the day. The world changes. The word does not change. Today's world might not like how exclusive Christianity appears to be. They might think that Christianity is just one route to God among many, one road to God among many others. They might not like it when Christians teach against the sin of idolatry or adultery or homosexuality or any immorality. Some people reject the Bible because it teaches these things. Other Christians water down the Bible when it says things that aren't culturally sensitive or politically appropriate. They say, the Bible can't really mean that. Or they say, maybe it meant that thousands of years ago, but it can't mean that today. Our times have changed. But we believe that though the world changes, the word does not change. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Psalm 18 says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And even in our passage today, Paul tells young Pastor Timothy to rightly handle the word of truth. This is a word of truth. God's word is inspired and it is authoritative. That's what this book is, but how do we read it? Should we read the Bible differently from how we read other books? I think we should. Sometimes we can tend to read this book historically. Maybe our text is an Old Testament story about one of the kings of Judah, one of the founding fathers of our faith back in Genesis or Exodus. We might read the story, maybe be impressed by their heroism and courage, and then we think, cool story, that was exciting. Or, sad story, that was depressing. And then we move on. We read it historically. Or sometimes we read the Bible moralistically. We'll read a chapter about a biblical character or an event that happened and interpret its meaning to be all about us. Us and our situation will be the central point of the story. The story of David and Goliath, we might read it to be about us and how we can face the metaphorical giants in our day. The story of Jonah and the great fish is about us and the problems we're avoiding and the ways God redirects us. Historically, moralistically, that's all the Bible is to many Christians. It's just a history book filled with stories to enjoy, or it's just a book of morals for us to imitate. But we believe something different. The Bible does have history, and this book does teach us morals to live by, but it's so much more than just that. I've said it before many times, but it's worth saying it again. This book is a powerful book that can change spiritual realities. No other book can do that. We can read a book like Aesop's Fables, and it can teach us about virtue and inspire us to do what's right. We could maybe read a mystery book and feel emotionally connected to the story. The words on the page can draw us into the plot and attach us to the characters in the story. I'm sure that you've read some sad stories or some funny stories that can make you feel certain ways. They can even make you respond in certain ways by crying or laughing. Words are powerful, but God's word is another kind of powerful. Physically, this looks like just any other book. It has two covers and a bunch of pages in the middle. Sometimes the binding is fancier than other books. The printing might be fancier or more formal than other books. But these words are not like any other physical book. These words can change spiritual things. reading these words can plant the seed of faith in our hearts and grow trust and hope in Christ. Paul wrote, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Reading Scripture is how we hear this word of Christ. God speaks to us through this book, and through two kinds of words in this book, like I talked about with the kids this morning. You've probably heard us talk about them before, the law and the gospel. Now, the law is more than just the verses in the Old Testament about the Ten Commandments, or the verses in the Old Testament about things that we are to do and the way religious ceremonies are supposed to be observed. The law is anywhere in Scripture, Old Testament or New, where we are reminded of our sin, where we are accused because of our sin. Romans 3:20 says, "Through the law comes knowledge of sin." The law is not good news. The law tells us that we have failed, that we are crippled in our failings and dead in our sins. There is no hope that any one of us can save ourselves. The law tells us that if there is any chance of salvation, it cannot come from us. It cannot come from anything inside of us. It needs to come from the outside. That's the law. The gospel tells us where this hope and salvation comes from. The gospel gives it a name: Jesus Christ, our Savior. The words of the gospel tell us that we have been forgiven and that we have been officially and legally adopted into God's family. The gospel tells us that our sins have been completely taken away and we have been purified and made holy. The law isn't just found in the Old Testament. The gospel isn't just found in the New Testament. Anywhere in the Bible where God shows us our sin, that's law. And anywhere in the Bible where God makes us a promise, that's gospel. The law and the gospel are the two overarching messages in this book of God's Word, and they're how God speaks to us. They're how God convicts us of sin so that we can repent, and they're how God creates and builds faith and trust in Him. So Scripture is inspired by God. It's the ultimate authority over our life and our circumstances. And it contains messages of law and gospel that are powerful to create and change spiritual realities. The Word of God is not bound. One last thing to look at. God's Word is sufficient. All that we need to know in order to be saved can be found within these holy, special pages. The Bible is not an encyclopedia that contains all of human knowledge. The Bible does not tell us everything about God that there is. It doesn't tell us everything about all the spiritual mysteries that there are. But Scripture teaches perfectly whatever we need to know to obtain eternal life. In the next chapter to Timothy here in 2 Timothy, Paul says that the sacred writings are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And this makes sense, doesn't it? If we needed to add something to these words in order to be saved, the Bible would no longer be perfect. It would no longer be God's perfect, sufficient word to us. Another way of putting this is saying that we believe in the perfect sufficiency of Scriptures. And this is also something that many other Christians don't believe. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Scripture needs to be supplemented with the traditional teachings of the Church or of the Pope. They say that Scripture plus tradition equals the perfect authority of God and the source and norm of all Christian doctrine. That is simply not true. Scripture alone is the only source and norm of Christian doctrine. The words or teachings of anybody are only reliable if they agree with Scripture. Whether it's me or Pastor Wesley or another pastor or anybody else who preaches or teaches, the only authority is Scripture. Another thing the Catholic Church teaches is that Scripture is naturally unclear to those who read it. That's what they say. Christians need to have the Church to help them understand what the Bible says. This is also not true and a dangerous lie. Anybody can pick up a Bible, read these words, and have faith and trust growing in their hearts. Understand that God's word is powerful to give them eternal life. Because this is the key. We do not illuminate the meaning of Scripture. Scripture illuminates its meaning to us. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God is not bound. Paul wrote to Timothy long ago, "The devil tries his best to stop this gospel from spreading. He tries to convince people that this book is not trustworthy, that it's not truly God's word, that it's not a special holy book. The devil can spread lies, and he can persecute us, and he can lock us up, and even have us put to death. But the word of God cannot be stopped. The word of God is not bound. This perfect Bible is inspired by God, making it the perfect and trustworthy authority over us and our lives. It contains the law and the gospel message of how we are sinners and how we are saved. And it's also the perfectly sufficient word of God, containing all that we need to know to obtain eternal life. The French philosopher Voltaire famously quipped back in the 1700s, he said, "In 100 years, the only Bibles on earth will be found in museums." That's what he said. Turns out, 100 years after Voltaire died, the Bible was still being used, teaching people about God and bringing them to a saving faith in Christ. And Voltaire's old home in Paris became the headquarters for the French Bible Society. And his home was used to store hundreds and thousands of Bibles that were being shipped throughout the entire world. The word of God is not bound. I want to close again this morning by reading another old poem to you, another hymn written over 100 years ago. This hymn is called, "We Have a Sure Prophetic Word." Listen to the words of this old hymn. "We have a sure prophetic word by inspiration of the Lord, and though assailed on every hand, Jehovah's word shall ever stand. By powers of empire banned and burned, by pagan pride rejected, spurned, the word still stands, the Christian's trust, while haughty empires lie in dust. Lo, what the word in times of old, of future days and deeds foretold, is all fulfilled while ages roll, as traced on the prophetic scroll. Abiding, steadfast, firm, and sure, the teachings of the word endure. Blessed he who trusts this steadfast word, his anchor holds in Christ the Lord." Amen. Yeah.